Are you scared of the dark? Someone please call 311. Turkeys and teddy bears aren't the only things with stuffing. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
This episode is presented by the Salty Soul Foundation. Since 2017, Salty Soul has removed over 20,000 pounds of trash in Florida and California. Visit saltysoulfoundation.org to support this organization via direct donation or purchase of their merchandise.
Good morning and welcome to the September 23rd episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Rossini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
Excellent, Ray. Excellent. Weekly wrap-up, all the cool stuff happening. I just learned something about Fleek. My eyebrows are on Fleek. I don't even know. Everyone doesn't understand on this intro when Ray says whatever the intro is. I don't know what it is. And I'm usually laughing off screen going, what? Now I want to listen to the stories. What are the stories? Wait, I'm reading the stories. Oh, I'm reading. I want to listen to the stories that we're reading now.
The best part is trying to figure out where the hell my mind was coming up with those things and where the connection is to the story. So,
yes, I want to know that.
I will say on the top story that has to do with shadows, I thought in the back of my head, it may be a Mandela effect, but I thought in the back of my head there was something with Darkwing Duck and being in the shadows. So I literally spent half an hour looking through like Darkwing Duck catchphrases to find something with shadow, and I just couldn't find it. So if you in the audience know what it is, put it in there because I will do it later. I miss Darkwing Duck. But better than that, Tony, you fly a lot. You go to conferences. You do a lot of travel for business.
Yeah,
you've heard like crying babies, maybe sometimes pets, maybe like, you know, people fighting, you know, the Karen thing going on. Have you ever heard people playing ukuleles on a plane?
No.
So this story, I don't know if it's making things better or worse, but Southwest Airlines joined a partnership with Guitar Center, and passengers on a Boeing 737-800, they gave them all soprano ukuleles and started giving classes on the flight. So, I mean, this is Southwest, which is already known for, it's the Florida of airlines, right? So, like, and they're playing ukuleles, giving lessons. I don't know if this is a good entertaining thing or this is a let me jump off the plane, I'll walk on my own kind of thing.
Or a social experiment. That's let's find out how much Florida we can inject in these people that are not Florida. So.
Oh, man, we're spreading Florida everywhere. But before we do that, let's get into the news.
Let's get into the news. Jumping straight into our first story from bleepingcomputer.com, Domain Shadowing Becoming More Popular Among Cybercriminals by Bill Tulis. Threat analysts Palo Alto Networks discovered that the phenomenon of domain shadowing might be a little bit more prevalent than previously thought, uncovering 12,197 cases while scanning the web April, May, and June of 2022. Domain shadowing is a subcategory of DNS hijacking, I apologize, where threat actors compromise the DNS of a legitimate domain to host their own subdomains for use in malicious activity, but not to modify the legitimate DNS entries that already exist. These subdomains are then used to create malicious pages for the cybercriminals to use at will. These subdomains that redirect to phishing sites can easily bypass email security filters as they don't host anything malicious and they have a benign reputation. Ray, I have 12,197 documented cases of domain shadowing in a 90-day period. Do you check your domains weekly, your subdomains weekly? I'm just figuring, like, we've all heard the what's in your wallet, what's in your DNS records?
So here's the thing. You remember when we were talking about the Hikvision cameras, and I was asking if like you had them VLAN off and you were updating firmware, and you're like, well, actually, and you talked about your testing and all this. Well, actually, here's my Tony moment. So no, we don't check weekly, but we don't have to. And the reason is because I, one of the things we practice, not to get too far into inside baseball, is one of the things we practice is desired state configuration. So our domains are configured programmatically, and then we have regular checks.
Hold on, I'm just pausing you right now, Ray. Desired state configuration. There, we just got an X rating because of the geek porn factor that just shot through the roof right here. We went right past the R, the NC-17, straight into triple X.
It's MSP Dispatch. We bring the heat, man.
Oh. I mean,
So we have automated checks that check against our records on a scheduled basis. And if there's something that changes, it notifies us and brings it back to our known last good configuration. And that way it eliminates fat fingering. It eliminates manual entry. It eliminates, you know, typos. And yeah. And if something were to happen outside of our control, we would know fairly quickly.
Desired state configuration. You can't. My heart is in beating in the most inappropriate way.
I'll do one better because I know this is one that like goes straight to your heart. Tim Golden says this is the year of APIs. I've said APIs, you know, have been my friend since 2015, 2014. You know, back in the ASP days. But yeah, I mean, use a DNS registrar that has or DNS host that has APIs. Cloudflare is phenomenal, but there's tons of others. NameSilo, and I think even the GoDaddy feel dirty saying that. But I think even GoDaddy has APIs. So
they do.
You know what I mean? Use them.
No, I am fascinated by this, and our audience primarily is the managed service providers out there, but we talk to all of the everything ranging from break fix to managed service providers to little value add individuals in there, but causing, you know, big market shifts all the way up the line to the MSP franchise, to basically the distributors. And along the way, the entire top level is the security experts. And when we're talking to you, you have to understand that we're talking about not just, hey, these are things that are happening in the industry that you should be aware of, but we're saying, here's what we do personally between our businesses, and here's what we hear of others doing. And that's why we're doing this. The comments that we receive, the private comments, the public comments, is absolutely invaluable. And what we'd like to do is listen to all of you. What are you using? Are you going to ask Ray, what are you using for this desired configuration process? Right? What tools are you using? And Ray will put in something, someone else will put in something. That is exactly the value that this show brings. And I can't emphasize that enough because, again, in 90 days, just a 90-day review of this year, 12,197 cases. Oh, man.
So I think it might have gone up one during that talk.
Ray, in the event of something crazy happening, I think there's a 911 or a 311. What's the next story? Tell me about it.
So our next story, and I want to go ahead and say thank you to somebody from our Discord, David Sisbenar, and I know I'm butchering his last name despite how long I've known him, but on our MMN Discord, he proposed this story. We'll talk about it later. But our second top story is in security. CISA proposes a 311 plan for cyber attacks. This was reported by Jonathan Gregg on therecord.media. At its fourth Cybersecurity Advisory Committee meeting on Tuesday, CISA announced a plan to create a 311 emergency call line and clinics for assistance following cyber incidents for SMBs. Several subcommittees made up of cybersecurity experts had discussed the need for emergency services and organizations that cannot afford them. According to the committee, the plan will also increase cyber talent in the U.S. by involving universities and colleges across the country. The committee plans to provide basic cybersecurity training to university and college students before deploying them. Currently, committee member Bobby Chesney is working on a collaboration with the City of Austin and University of Texas, where students will provide cybersecurity services through a platform similar to 311. CISA Director Jen Easterly compared 311 to Craigslist founder Craig Newmark's effort in something that would create a cyber civil defense force. Tony, we talked previously with Alex Farling of Lifecycle Insights, where we had talked about providing those services to the micro SMBs, to the retail shops that may not have the resources to do you know, cyber response, incident response, proper MSP, proper tech. This sounds to me like a great step toward solving those problems. What do you think?
I'm furious. I can't believe this. How dare they actually have the audacity to think that people may need help and we need structure to move forward for everybody that doesn't have the resources? Why can't we just leave everyone hanging? Of course, this is the bizarro world that we all live in, but this is poetry to me. This is when Microsoft suddenly revealed that they have an alert response team, like they're ready to go. This is for everyday. This is everyday pedestrians. This is for everyone. If there is a 311 system that addresses, I don't know, just calling it ransomware. I think there's something out there called ransomware. Rumors have it, but in the event of a ransomware attack, a general attack, anything from a potential SNMP walk, old school, to, you know, IP packet storming, old school stuff, to, hey, we have some weird suspicious activity. No one knows where to go unless you've been there before. And it is the most terrifying experience. I taught, ironically, a cybersecurity class. I teach twice a week for the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. I arrive and I keep them up to date with cybersecurity hygiene. And the first question they asked this week was, what if you don't know what to do? Like, who do you call? And I was puzzled. I now have an answer. On my next class, I'm going to go in and say, well, it's funny that you say that. We now have a 311 advisory committee. Tell me your thoughts on this, Ray. I'm elated for this.
I mean, I love it. I can see you walking into this class and saying, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Mr. Francisco, dial 311, I'm out. And then just walking back out. I love it. This is something I posed to my friends in the security world. I used to give Jason Slagle and others, John Hammond and others, a really hard time because I would complain that they were talking about all of these ethereal things of what ifs and could happen. And, you know, and I said, and I challenged them, and they met the challenge. I will give credit where credit is due. They absolutely met the challenge. And the challenge was this: give me simple, actionable steps I can do to protect myself or respond in the case of an incident. This, pick up the phone and dial 311, is a simple, actionable step to take in the case of an incident. I love that. I'd love to see more education in advance of these incidents also. Baby steps, little by little, but I think it's a fantastic thing. I think we're protecting the 99%, as Huntress likes to call it, right? I love that it's going on, and I'm all for it. And any way we can help, even better. The only thing I question is too many chefs in the kitchen. Can you imagine the MSP client calling 311 before calling the MSP and then saying, no, but the University of Austin told me to do this, and the insurance company and the MSP, So I want to hear from the MSPs. Does this affect you guys? Do you think it's a good thing? Do you think it's going to cause additional chaos? Where's your head with this? And let us know and hit us up in the comments. We definitely want to know. But Tony, you have some additional, in your next story, some additional stuffing for my Build-A-Bear?
Yes, on our next story from bleepingcomputer.com, Okta says, credit stuffing accounts for 34% of all login attempts, by Bill Tolis. Credit stuffing attacks have become so prevalent in the first quarter of 2022 that traffic surpassed that of legitimate login attempts for normal users in some countries. This type of attack takes advantage of password recycling, which is the bad practice of using the same credential pairs, login name and password, across multiple sites. Once the credentials are leaked out or brute forced from one site, threat actors perform a credential stuffing attack that attempts to use the same leaked credentials at other sites to gain access to the user's accounts. Okta reports that the situation has worsened in 2022 as the identity and access management firm has recorded over 10 billion credential stuffing events on its platform in the first 90 days of 2022. This number represents roughly 34% of the overall authentication traffic, which means that 1/3 of all attempts are malicious and fraudulent. Ray, first, I want everyone to see the data in the show notes. It's absolutely terrifying. Please, if you haven't looked at the show notes, look at them. The links are in there for the articles that we're reviewing, and we put our own notes in there usually. 34% of the authentication traffic is fraudulent. That probably is my information. That could be your information out there. Can you please tell us your thoughts on that? And while you're doing that, I'm going to start changing my passwords on the back end. So,
well, I was calling 311. No, 12,199. Yeah. So it sucks because I've talked to other researchers, other analysts, other journalists on this stuff, and we want to cover the security. We want to make people aware. We want to make sure that you guys know what's going on, how it can affect you, so it's not a surprise. Hopefully you're hearing it from us before you're hearing it from your clients. At the same time, is it too much, right? Is it the sky is falling every time we see a shooting star? 34% of traffic is a ridiculous amount of traffic. Don't get me wrong. It is absolutely mind-boggling. At the same time, we're coming on the heels of the Uber breach that we talked about earlier this week, that is now talking about. It was a contractor. It seems they always blame contractors, but it was a contractor that was fatigued from MFA fatigue, that he just got so many MFA prompts, he just hit it. Yes, I believe credential stuffing is absolutely something to be aware of, but I call it back to the same. What are the simple actionable steps any SMB or any MSP can follow so that we can protect against these things? And so, you know, and that's what I'm going to pose out to the audience, because yes, we want to cover this stuff. Tony and I are infinite nerds. We love this stuff. We read it, whether we cover it on the news or not. Right. But at the same time, what are you doing with this information to take it back to your client? Are you having that conversation with your client, talking about credential stuffing? Are you talking about domain shadows? Are you talking about, you know, are you just going back and saying, you know, this is good for us to know internally, share with the team, and ne'er say a word later on? I don't know. What, Tony, where's the line here?
The line really comes down to, I'm still trying to figure out how to use this USB tester that you told me to get. I'm just letting you know. I'm angry. This has consumed hours of my time. Testing the voltage regulation in the USB and the wires. You know, stop. You're making me buy too many things. Listen, so Ray was dead on when, hey, you know, we're one of you. We're one of the nerds that love to figure out how things work, how to break it. And we fix that. We reinforce things. And our objective isn't to break anything. Our objective is to help others fix and reinforce and strengthen their own. Lift everyone up. For the betterment of our community, let's make everyone better in some way, shape, or form. If that means making you aware, great. If that means terrifying you a little bit and talking about domain shadowing and other subversive events, great, because maybe that's the 1% that you need to push you over the precipice to do something that, frankly, you've never done before, which means you're probably going to have something you've never had before. And that's a positive thing if it's aimed correctly. We love to hear from everyone out there. The private messages, the public posts, we have so many different angles to get back to us. Let's hear from you.
In our first notable mention, Microsoft brings zero trust to hardware, as reported by Karen Spiegelman on darkreading.com. Microsoft released a detailed PDF on Windows 11's new security-focused features with an emphasis on supporting zero trust. Microsoft, Google, and Amazon have been working with the U.S. federal government on improving cybersecurity through Zero Trust, but Microsoft has taken it a step further by also protecting firmware. According to Microsoft, hardware-based protection can mitigate vulnerabilities that are difficult to overcome with software alone. Its Trusted Platform Module 2.0 chip will store sensitive data and user credentials separately from the operating system. The company had required TPM 2.0 capabilities on all new Windows 10 machines, but the latest version of Windows won't run if the PC doesn't have a TPM 2.0 chip. Also added to the new Windows version is the silicone-assisted security. It protects processes from other processes running in memory. Therefore, if the malware gains access to the main OS kernel, it won't be able to execute unauthorized code or access platform secrets. The new version boasts less slowdown because of the new security features don't run on software. In our second notable mention, 15-year-old unpatched Python vulnerability potentially affects over 350,000 projects. As reported by Ravi Lakshmanan on thehackernews.com, a 15-year-old unpatched security flaw in a Python module is believed to be the cause of potential vulnerability in at least 350,000 open-source projects. Tracked as CVE-2007-4559 and rooted in the tar file module, a successful exploit could allow an attacker to overwrite arbitrary files in a tar archive. Similarly to a recently disclosed vulnerability in RAR Labs' UnRAR utility, the flaw can be exploited by uploading a malicious tar file to seize control of a targeted device. As a solution, Trellix has released Creosote to scan for projects vulnerable to the flaw.
In our next notable mention, on Engadget.com, 2K confirms its support desk was hacked to send malware to gamers. Don't click any links from the company's support email. Video game publisher 2K is warning to the public not to open any emails from its support account after confirming it has in fact been hacked. Quote, earlier today, we have become aware that an unauthorized third party illegally accessed the credentials of one of our vendors to the help desk platform that 2K uses to provide support to our customers. News of the security breach broke yesterday after Bleeping Computer shared screenshots of phishing emails sent to 2K customers. The emails took the form of unsolicited support tickets. Those who opened the message were subsequently sent a second email prompting them to download, quote, the new 2K game launcher, putting 107 megabytes executable file through VirusTotal and any.run. Bleeping Computer found that it contained malware designed to steal any passwords its target may have stored on their browser. In our next notable mention, theregister.com, in Rust we trust. Microsoft Azure CTO shuns C and C++ by Thomas Claiborne. Microsoft Azure CTO Mark Rusinovich has had it with C and C++, time-tested programming languages commonly used for native applications that require high performance. On Monday, Rusinovich urged technology industry to leave C and C++ behind. Quote, speaking of languages, it's time to start halting any new projects in C, C++, and use Rust for those scenarios where non-garbage collected language is required, he said. For the sake of security and reliability, the industry should declare those languages as deprecated. The Rust programming language is less prone to potential memory corruption bugs, and this makes software less vulnerable. Microsoft has been talking about dumping C and C++, and exploring Rust since 2019. According to Microsoft, about 70% of the CVEs it's patched since 2006 are due to memory safety issues. Eliminating those bugs would dramatically improve software security while reducing the cost of vulnerability remediation.
All right, let's get into that feedback. On YouTube, DiskJosh23 says, clearly tacos, foolproof password. He's referring to the episode we did talking about the Uber hack on Tuesday where the password said, I love, and then fill in the blanks. I agree with you.
I love eating.
It was Taco Tuesday. Absolutely. And on Reddit, on the subreddit rmssp for managed security service providers, Hayabusa says, the interview with Marcus Olson of Pliancy is top shelf. Would be interested in getting MSP owners' take on it. I've been considering consulting instead of MSPs because I'd have to be solo anyway. And I'm glad you liked it. There is a part two to Dave Sobel's interview of Marcus. That is already out this week at the time of this airing. And we will have Dave Sobel on Tuesday's episode to talk about that part two and part one. So we're looking forward to it. Hopefully you can join us then.
And in our community events on September 27th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the MSP Dispatch presented by the MSP Media Network. On September 28th and 29th, an in-person event, the ASCII Success Summit in New Jersey. And on September 29th and 30th, another in-person event, Cybersecurity Marketing Roadshow in Boston, Massachusetts. On the 29th at 6:30 p.m., Eastern Standard Time, The Tech Bar, episode 44 with Vince Chrysler of Dark Cubed. And finally, rounding out that month on September 30th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the MSP Dispatch weekly wrap-up presented by the MSP Media Network, Ray Orsini, and yours truly, Tony Francisco.
Don't forget to join us next Thursday, September 29th at 6:30 p.m. Eastern for an epic time at The Tech Bar featuring Vince Chrysler of Dark Cubed. Hey, I'm Powerhouse Ray.
And I'm Super Cousin Danny.
And we're your hosts for The Tech Bar.
The Tech Bar.
Join us next episode featuring special guest Vince Chrysler of Dark Cubed.
I heard he's bringing gifts.
We love gifts.
Pull up a stool every other Thursday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern for drinks, jokes, and games with your friends in the MSP channel at The Tech Bar.
I love those. All right. So how'd you like today's show? If you liked it, hit that thumbs up button. If you didn't, go ahead and hit it twice. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on YouTube or your favorite podcatcher. Did you also know we have a Discord where we post stories all week long? You can propose your own stories and even vote on which ones we'll cover in the subsequent dispatch. As my friend Rich Banky says, make sure to tell a friend. Also, be sure to follow us on social at MSP Media TV. Have any questions? Email news at mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode or leave us a voicemail, 833-MSP-Network. Tony, I think we covered all the security news from Boston, Maryland to Boston, Massachusetts and beyond.
If you haven't seen the bloopers, look at the bloopers. I'm looking at a map and I see it and I look at it in Maryland and I say it and I don't think I say it and apparently I'm proven wrong. Today was an awesome show. The news is incredible. I'm laughing from the introduction that I've never heard before all the way through. We blazed through it with almost no bloopers until I changed that.
That's the beauty of it. Like, okay, as much as we were talking about almost hitting the perfect game, as we got to what, story three before the first mistake, like, that's amazing. But at the same time, I can genuinely say the bloopers are like right up there as like my favorite thing to watch. Even having recorded these, I love watching the bloopers. So,
oh, it was so good. We're going so fast, which made the crash so much worse.
And that's it. That's the news from the consummate professionals of the MSP world. Thank you, everybody. Take care of yourselves and each other.
Be safe.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
Stuffing. Bleepingcomputer.com. Okta says credential stuffing accounts. Damn it! So okay, close!
We did really no good. We got really far without mistakes.
Oh, we're doing so good. You f***ed me with stuffing. I don't even know how that goes. Okay, let me get back to... Oh, so good. Here we go.
And you can even vote on which ones we'll cover, the ones that are important to you before we cover them.
I thought we were going to do notables, so I had the notable banner up.
All right. Ray. Our second notable mention, 15-year-old unpatched Python vulnerability put... Blah, blah, blah. One more time. Hold on.
That was a... Oh, no. Doing voice-to-text email. And... stop doing voice-to-text email. And it's writing my email for me. Send. Done. Okay. Let's do some cool stuff. In our next notable mention... Microsoft Azure CTO Mark Russinovich. Russinovich. Okay, here we go. In our next notable mention, the register.com. Oh, do you want me full screen for that or no? There we go. Hold on, is my hair in fleek? Fleek? Or my eyebrows in fleek. Okay.
And on Discord, on the subreddit for MSSPs, r/MSSP, Hayabusa says, the interview with Marcus Olson of Pliancy is top shelf. Would be interested in getting to know MSP. I had to have one mistake, right?
On September 29th through the 30th, another in-person event, Cybersecurity Marketing Roadshow in Boston, Maryland.
Tony, it was Boston, Massachusetts.
What did I say?
Boston, Maryland.
Did I say Maryland? I am staring at a map and I said Maryland. I literally was. Okay, one more time. I'm literally staring at a map of the United States, and I in my mind, I said, I didn't say Maryland. I didn't, but yeah. I was looking at Maryland. Okay.
We have the proof that we're going to bloopers.